This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday as we come to you, as we traditionally do, from the Chili Dome in Farmersville. It's become quite a tradition, and my gosh, what a terrific morning today.
We got a breeze rolling through the dome, which is always a welcomed thing here in the early stages of the Farmersville Irish Days.
That's right. Of course, and if it does warm up, there will be beverages available. Just to remind everybody.
And chili.
You know, you got to stay hydrated.
That's the key.
That's the key. That's staying the key. Hydrated. That's right. So come on. This is the final day of the Irish Day celebration here in Farmersville. Coming up, of course, the chili cook-off officially starts at about 10 o'clock this morning, along with the volleyball tournament. There'll be an antique tractor show at 11, an adult pedal tractor pull. Have you ever been in one of those things before tonight?
Have I been in one?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay.
It seems like it would be right up my alley.
You being a farm guy, you know, I figured it'd be kind of up your alley. So
I actually rode one of them here from the station.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Made pretty good time.
As long as the wind's behind you, right?
That's the key. That's the key.
Okay.
That sounds very entertaining, though.
Maybe to you. I don't know.
Get yourself a few adult beverages.
There you go.
Get in the adult.
It's all about hydration again.
Absolutely.
It's all about hydration, man. I'm telling you, it's hydration. The big Irish Days Parade, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, they'll have all the various ceremonies and everything with the queens and everything beginning about 6:30 tonight. So, final day of Irish Days. Come on in, enjoy it, and have a good time.
If you think it's going to be hot today, forget about it. Just think back to 2012. That was hot.
that was hot.
This is pleasant.
This is great.
This is not bad at all.
So, Dave Jenkins is there. Dave was making a fool out of himself coming today,
yes.
From what I understand.
Yes, we passed my wife on the interstate, and she either knew it was us and chose to ignore us, and I'm going to hear about it later.
We were in my car.
Yeah, we were in his car. Okay. So she also may not have known it was us, just thought it was a couple of crazy people on the interstate.
Just imagine that.
It never broke her concentration.
Oh, she was focused.
Yeah. She focused?
Okay. I mean, that could have been, like, videotaped for, like, a driver's ed seminar.
Well, you know,
laser focus.
I guess that's what happens when you work along Kyle Herschel.
She got work to do.
Oh. Kyle may hear about it later. We'll see.
You will definitely hear
I
about
will
it,
definitely
Dave.
Hear
you
about
will
it.
Definitely hear. Kyle Herschelman has joined us, and we're a week away now from the Grace Cup.
Yep.
And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Only slightly terrifying, too. So, anytime you do something the first time, it's always interesting for sure. So,
Kyle, if people are tuning in, they're going, okay, Grace Cup, we've kind of heard about it. We don't really remember exactly what it is. But this is a fundraiser to help out with research at WashU.
Exactly. Washington University, Dr. Paul Kotzbauer, is conducting a research study on infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy, which is a terrible genetic disorder that my daughter Grace has. We're looking for treatments. We're looking for a cure. We're raising money for it. My family and several others across the country. One of the ways we're doing that is the Grace Cup, which is an all-star soccer game between mostly players from the SEC against players from all over the area.
And that's coming up next week at the RHSA field at the park in Raymond at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock, yep.
But there'll be other activities as well, right?
Yeah, not a whole lot this first year. Yeah. This year's just kind of a start off, but we will have free admission. We're just going off donations. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to just come out and have a nice time, give these kids another opportunity to be on the soccer field. Some of them are going to play in college. But we'll have concessions there. The St. Louis FC, the USL team, which is affiliate of the Major League Soccer Chicago Fire, they donated 4 tickets and some other items. So we're going to be raffling them off too. Just $1 a ticket and we're six for $5. So we're really excited about it. We think it's going to be a nice event.
Kyle, one thing about your daughter Grace, who suffers from INAD, you're fortunate, though, that WashU has a program that's doing research into this. So that's the plus side.
It's huge. You know, I mean, there's so many rare diseases that don't have anything going for them right now. We were fortunate enough that not only is somebody looking for an answer, but they're looking for it in basically our backyard. So it's really been nice, you know. Dr. Kotzbauer has a lot of ideas, and we never know what's going to happen. we hope that it's he's able to find something in time to help Grace. The timetable's pretty short for INAD kids. A lot of them don't make it to their second decade. And Grace is three right now, so we're working against the clock. But, you know, ultimately we're going to find something that helps this disease, and we just hope it's in time for Grace.
Yeah, the Grace Cup coming up next Saturday at the soccer park in Raymond. Yes.
And, you know, charity games like this often, they're fun. They start out fun. But you get to the last few minutes, all of a sudden it gets rather competitive.
Oh, and there's going to be a lot of good players on there. The area team's coached by Travis Matthews, who I grew up with, good friend, talented soccer coach. They have guys from Williamsville, Springfield Lutheran, Peter Croma from Lanphier, because he played for FC South Central, or the club soccer team that's based out of Raymond and Wagner.
That continues to win tournaments all around the Midwest,
We seem to be doing okay. Adam Forrester, who played for Lutheran, scored, I think, 50 goals, 40 goals, something like that.
50 goals, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was 50 this year. So, you know, plus we have some, you know, local kids, Gavin Creasy and Arlen, I'm going to butcher Arlen's last name, Maglitz from North Mac, and Leo Hernandez from Lincolnwood. So, you know, it's the area team is going to be, you know, is kind of a hodgepodge mix. They were a little bit harder to choose this year. Next year we'll have a little bit better idea. The South Central Conference, mostly we went with kids that were on the all-conference team. Cody Kolk and Kelson Triplett were two of the first ones I contacted from Hillsborough and Litchfield, respectively, you know, just to see if they would be interested. They were all for it. They've been very supportive of it. We have a big crew from Greenville, Pietro Lentini from Carlinville, who's one of the better players in the area.
By the way, I think Will Schaufelberger, who won the three-point shootout a couple years ago, we could always take him over to the other side of the park and let him shoot three-pointers, put a little money on that, right?
Knock down some trays.
Oh, I guess no gambling, right? That's right.
But, Will was an early signee, too, so.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, we never know. Maybe we'll get a three-on-three going. Hey, I'm down for anything.
Yeah, and a lot of people have stepped up to volunteer to help out, game officials, you know, and these kids. This is wonderful that these kids, and they all get a nice shirt to represent the fact that they were part of the first Grace Cup.
Exactly. You know, my sister-in-law is working on the shirts. So, you know, it's really a family affair. I mentioned Travis is coaching the area team. Jason Burke, Hillsborough High School's soccer coach and another good friend, is coaching the SEC team. So we just really appreciate them and all their support of it.
Just a plug for Jason. He's won a couple of regionals, hasn't he?
He has.
That's a soccer team, that program that's been built over the years and is now a solid team, program.
You know, and Jason gets the most out of the talent that he has and has done a really good job and really gets the kids to believe that they can go out there and win, and that's half the battle sometimes. Yeah. But really, really create, you know, kind of a family atmosphere there too. So it's nice. Tim Gould, former Carlinville head coach and current Blackburn girls coach, is going to be one of the officials for the game. So it's nice to have him.
No blood, no foul.
Exactly.
World Cup.
Will yellow card be in play?
I would assume so. We're going to go ahead and hope nobody gets injured.
Here's what's going to happen. Gould's going to stop play. He's going to reach in. He's going to pull out a card, and it's going to be the ace of clubs. You know, and you're going, oh, wrong set of cards. Okay.
Yeah, we're hoping for a nice, clean game. I mean, I feel slightly bad for the goalies, just because we're going to have, I mean, we're heavy on the strikers and forwards and some of the teams.
But that's what people really want to see.
Oh yeah, well, and like I said, it's really just an opportunity for the kids to get back out and have the chance to play again, and also raise awareness for INAD. It's just something that, you know, I'm going to continue to do.
Kyle, I've been impressed with the response that the kids have had over the months through the basketball season and now through the spring. It's not surprising around the area to see the adults step up because they do it time after time. But to see these teenagers respond the way they have and do the things they have done, that has to just mean the world to you.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it really started off, you know, Matt Milberg, who will be on here in a minute, gave us the game ball from the alumni tournament. And we've had a lot of, you know, Hillsboro boys basketball did something. Hillsboro girls basketball did something. You know, she threw out four first pitches. The kids have been really, really enthusiastic. The ones that are playing, you know, tonight we're coming here to Irish Days to the Queen thing, the Queen coronation, and they did a 50-50 raffle for Grace. There's a group of little queens that are raffling off an American Girl doll and a pair of Cardinals tickets. It's just amazing. A bit overwhelming at times, especially for somebody that would rather stay in the background and tell these stories rather than be a part of it. But it's been pretty amazing.
And you are going to continue to tell the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the great thing.
I don't have anywhere else to go. You know, I married into the newspaper family, and I'm not going anywhere. So it's, you know, we're just not as comfortable being on this side of it right now.
But that's good for all the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Kyle, if folks have any questions or comments, maybe you want to make a donation, even if they can't come to the Grace Cup game itself, how do they do that?
They can either email me at centerandguard, all spelled out, at gmail.com, or call me. My number is 825-7943. That's a 217 area code. We'll welcome anything. Like I said, this is kind of the test year, but we're really excited about it, and we think it's going to be a great event. So,
by the way, the field looks great.
I have no doubt that the field looks great. I know
the weed and feed thing worked.
Just gotta get somebody who knows what they're doing over there to take care of that thing. He's willing to put in the time and the effort, you know.
It was the other guys. Wasn't me this year. That's for darn sure. Hey, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it, and we'll have a full list of players in Thursday's Journal News. We're still, like I said, this is kind of the test year, and we're kind of adding people as we go. I got some feelers out to some kids from Rochester, just to fill out some of the area team, give us some subs. So, not necessarily that the Rochester kids will be subs, but, you know, because they're pretty talented at soccer. But
Chad Kutcher does a pretty good job at Rochester.
But you know, we really want just everybody to have a really good experience and just really enjoy the day.
Okay. Kyle Hirschman joining us here on Sports Saturday as we come to you from the Chili Dome at Farmersville. It's the final day of Irish Day, so come on by, enjoy yourself. The Chili Cook-Off competition actually gets underway beginning at 10 o'clock this morning, and we'll talk more about some of the other stuff going on here at Irish Days. We need to get to our first break. Sports Saturdays rolls on from the Chili Dome in Farmersville right after these messages. Participants are starting to line up right now. You know, it's the great thing about this scenario, in about another 15 minutes or so, we start smelling the chili ingredients.
I was just said the aromas are not far off.
Yes, they are. They can't be far off. I'm surprised Dave Jenkins hasn't gotten involved in something like this cooking stuff.
I am not a big chili guy.
You're not a big chili
no,
guy?
No,
okay.
not a huge chili guy.
But you
guy.
Know what, David? You don't have to eat it. You just got to cook it.
That's true. Well,
you can palming off on anybody that comes by.
See, if you're not eating it, you can make it as spicy as you want.
And there, with something like this, you got to be tasting throughout. Yeah. So if I'm not tasting, I could mix
so
together any kind of ingredients.
You wouldn't even be willing to taste.
No,
the
I would.
Chili.
No. Not, I would taste it. Yeah. I'll eat chili. It's just
not your.
I'm not in love with it like a lot of other people.
Okay. I think Tobinot judged this one year, did he not?
I don't know.
I think he did, or maybe it was the Rib Fest. I don't remember.
It was the Rib Fest.
Okay.
I think it was Rib. And by the way, we're going to the Rib Fest, the Rib Cook-Off. I'll be at Carlinville at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds later on this morning and early this afternoon for the Stars,
Stars Primal, Rib
Primal
Rib
Meats
Cook-Off.
Yeah, so Cook-Off.
They're already underway there. The cooking has started.
Yeah.
I think the food service will begin about 1 o'clock. You can show up and start tasting chicken and pork and
Ribs begin at 3.
Oh, goodness.
Something like that.
So, yeah.
So no matter where you go around the area today, you're set for food.
Oh,
whether it be chili here or ribs in Carbonville.
Just have your Rolaids handy tonight.
That's exactly right.
And remember, it's always important to stay hydrated.
That's the key.
That's right. So Matt Milberg has sat down with us here at the Chili Dome at Irish Days. And Matt, good morning. And another team golf outing is coming up in August. The first one went extremely well.
Yeah, we did a good showing last year, and this year we're up here at Irish Days again talking with you guys and promoting our tickets. We got tickets the basketball boys are selling right now at the stand, and we got first prize Apple iPad, second prize another iPad, third prize a TV and a Fitbit, and then we got a half a hog and a quarter cow. So,
wow.
Yeah. And a player to be named later.
Geez, not exactly Cracker Jack box prizes there.
That's considerations.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. I'm always amazed how much better the prizes have gotten across the board. iPads, TVs, hogs.
Yeah, we're excited this year. So last year was a great success, and we're looking forward to another one August 29th.
And Matt, tell us a little bit about what these funds are used for.
Well, for the past couple of years, you know, this might be my fourth year as head coach there at Lincolnwood, and we've been using money for, you know, jackets. We just got a out of a shootout Thursday and Friday this past week in Vandalia shootout. Rich Wells over there, superintendent, does a great job putting on that shootout over there. So a lot of the money I use for is summer program stuff, and without that, we can't go.
And that's the stuff that fans who show up during the regular season don't really see, because those gyms are usually empty, maybe a few spectators, but it's hot. There's not a lot of air movement. But from a coaching perspective, you're expecting to see the same type of effort now as you expect to see at a holiday tournament.
Absolutely. Our first game on Thursday was an air-conditioned gym, and then the rest of the time we were in the varsity gym at a high school gym at Vandalia. So we got a good taste of what it was like at 95 degrees playing a couple games. You know, the boys, with the transition we're going through right now in our program, it's great for them to play together and get that experience.
And you speak of the transition, of course. We're talking about the fact that Morrisonville kids will be playing on the basketball team.
Yeah, we've had eight or so kids periodically show up throughout the summer and join our program, and we're happy to have them.
Yeah, that'll help the numbers.
That's right. We should be around 20 or so, and don't have to worry about freshman sophomore games. Yeah. You know, whether we're going to have enough kids, and we're looking forward to that.
And a lot of times, you know, what people will be concerned about with the co-op situation is how's it going to affect us class wise. You're still going to be 1A, which is excellent.
Yeah, we're still going to be 1A easily. So you know, some changes. You know, we might have to, you know, that change a tournament. Maybe we got to pick up some games. You know, that I would say we're. My opinion is, you know, we could be tops in the conference, I think, in MSM, but we really don't know, because Waverly and Franklin have gone together. Mm-hmm. Edinburgh and Kincaid have now gone together, and us and Morrisonville. So we're going to juggle up the conference a little bit, but, you know, our expectations are high.
Going to Waverly at Christmas?
As of right now, at this point, we think we are going to go to Waverly for the Christmas tournament.
Which takes some tradition back to Lincolnwood. Sure, and Lincolnwood was there at one time, but of course, Morrisonville has been there for forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. So there's some openings there because of those couple schools that have left. We feel like it's a good opportunity for us and our school to support a conference school in Waverly. You know, they're going to host that still, even though they have co-opted. And we think that's a good experience for our Morrisonville people, too.
Plus, Carrollton's in that tournament beginning next year.
Supposedly, yeah, Carrollton's going to be in that tournament. So there's a lot of transitions in that tournament. You know, it's a great 1A tournament. Whenever I was at Pawnee, I was able to experience it, and we're excited to go. So
now, we were kind of joking off the air, but Tate Snyder finally going to be a senior. He's played a lot of basketball for you.
Well, Tate's gone. He's been gone for 2 years, or this will be his second year gone. But
I can't keep him all straight.
Yeah. Reese will be
Reese
a junior.
Is the baby. Yeah, Reese is the baby, and he's going to be a junior this year for me. I got some very talented seniors, and Brian Graham, Kyle Thomas, and AJ Thomas from my end, and you know, some of the ones coming from Morrisonville are going to accommodate those guys. And junior wise, Seth Foster from Morrisonville is a very talented basketball player, and Bormita and Snyder and Pope and all those, and the sophomore class we got, you know, is with Mazera and Milberg and Polkenpole. You know, we're excited this year. So
Matt, this summertime stuff's got to kill you, though. You're ready for basketball, man.
Yeah, we're going and going. I think we're halfway through our summer season, about 500. Shout out to Drew Logan over in Litchfield. We play over there every Monday for free all June. And his summer games are reffed by him on his own time. And we really enjoyed driving the only 10 miles, you know, down the road to play some competition. We played a tough Southwestern team there today and won in overtime. And, you know, we play Carlinville and Vandalia next week, so we're excited.
What does it mean? Really, if you're picking percentages or give us a couple numbers, how much, you know, are these summer games worth?
You know, I think the biggest thing is the camaraderie. After the games, the boys hanging out together, going to eat together, being around each other through hard times, because it's not easy to play 95-degree weather and playing four games in one day. The adversity you have to go through is what really, I think, builds the most. You know, the wins and losses will come. You know, you can't really judge your season on wins and losses in the summertime, but the competition is always going to be great, you know, whether it be going all the way down to Vandalia. We go to Greenville next week. We go to Riverton next week on Tuesday and Thursday and play Riverton and Porta and Pleasant Plains. They're going to be a tough program this year. Cliff Cameron's last year. And, you know, we're excited to play those teams that we don't usually get a chance to play, those bigger schools. So we played Flora the other day. That was a good experience for us. You know, you get chances to play teams that you don't usually see during the season.
Which only builds confidence for the winter time, especially when, because you're such a small school anyway, and you get to play those bigger schools.
That's right. And you know, we haven't had a lot of success over in Thanksgiving tournament like I've wanted the past couple of years, but if you can see, we've lost maybe two games in 3 years in December because of the competition that we play early on, and that's what we feel like the summer will help, you know, build those programs up.
Matt, the golf tournament is still August, 29th this year, and folks can find tickets for all the goodies available at many different sites or from all the ball players, right?
That's right, and we're going to have a couple pre-team get-togethers throughout the area in Farmersville, Harville, and Raymond, try to get, you know, some bags tournaments going on or something just to, you know, get a chance to sell some stuff and hang out and show what we got for this team play day.
All right.
Looking like a team is always important.
Yeah, we dress for the occasion. I went over and talked to some of the Morrisville boys after the co-op had went through, and one of the first questions was, do we have to wear shirt and ties to games? I said, that's a minor thing right now in my book. But we'll have to discuss that when it gets closer to season time.
Wait, that's your question?
you're going to have to play four games in 95-degree heat, and you're asking about a tie.
Okay? Well, shirt and ties during the season. They know that we wear shirt and ties during the season.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, I've always thought in a team that shows up dressed nice, sitting together before a ball game, during the JV game, it says something about the unit.
Yeah. I went on with past history. You know, we wore shirt and ties when we played, and I just kind of rolled with history. And you know, when I was coaching Pawnee, they didn't do that. They didn't, you know, they didn't believe in that, and it was a little different, accustomed for me to get used to. But you know, when I came back and made that choice, I just kind of went with it. And we have, you know, best dressed. You know, we do a best dress for the night or something. You know, they always get together. They'll wear blue shirt night, you know, with their ties, or bow tie night. So they enjoy it. I know they sometimes don't act like it, but I know they do.
Matt, one question. How much fun has it been being a varsity head coach?
You know, the pressures of it, you know, especially in your hometown, it can get to you at times. But overall, I still think the best decision I've ever made was to apply for that job and come back. This was my first year back here teaching at the school district, so that was a new change, seeing the boys every day in, day out, after losses or after good wins, you know, seeing them in the hallways, making sure they're at classes, making sure they're behaving. You know, the last time that we had a head basketball coach that was in the school district was Craig DeVallis, and that was in the late 1990s. So for us to be able to have that opportunity that Panhandle gave me come back, I was very grateful.
That put that in perspective. That was the Tyson Snyder, Ryan Patterson era.
Well, that's funny you brought that up.
And go ahead.
We were at the Vandalia shootout, and I was talking with Rich Wells, superintendent. I said, the last time I was in that gym, probably I was sticking my face through the balcony painted, you know, during the back-to-back-to-back regional championships. And they had sectionals there. I think we lost to Lebanon 1 year.
Yeah.
And
South Central?
Yeah, somewhere.
Like
but,
that,
You know, reliving the history of that gym right there. I told the boys about that because, you know, as you said, Reese Snyder plays for me. That's, you know, Tyson's cousin. And we were able to, you know, tell them the times that we played sectionals there.
And Vandalia is such a great venue for a tournament. I love that gymnasium for a sectional.
Yes, yes. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Matt Noberg joining us here on Sports Saturday.
Matt, if you could just find some intensity on the sidelines, I think you might be able to go somewhere.
It's hard in the summertime. I sit down most of the time. I do. I don't get up very often. I don't know if they're used to that or not, but you know, I like to have fun and enjoy my time. You know, sometimes, you know, being animated. You know, I've learned that my best friends are the referees. I really truly have a lot of good friends now, the referees. So for me to get riled up with them is not going to get me anywhere in life. And you know, I think that the referees around this area are very experienced, and they do the best that they can do, just as I'm doing the best I can do. You know, nobody's perfect, and we all make mistakes.
And as these referees continue to remind everybody, is that they get older, but the kids never do.
That's right.
You know, it makes it tough.
How hard is it as a head coach if the ref says, sit down, and then you got to stay sit down? How hard is that?
I don't know. I never had that experience yet. I know the only technical I ever got was from Jay Smith over in Vandalia against Nokomis, 3 seconds to go. Try to call timeout, and I ran all the way down to the sideline where he was and scared the crap out of him, I think.
He called that getting your money's worth.
So, yeah, he just teed me up, and I had to set the rest of that game. But I always remind him of that incident. So.
And Jay just laughs about it.
Yeah,
doesn't
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 So it's great to be around, you know, the guys, the relationships that you create, you know, over the years, whether it be from, you know, the Cuffles all the way up in Riverton, you know, mm-hmm. I'm great friends with them now. You know, you go all the way down south. We went over to Hardin-Calhoun for regionals, and you have Smith over there, you know, and, you know, he's a great.
Of course,
official.
It took you 3 days to get there, but,
yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
the
details.
We don't want to bring that up again. IHSA, that's the foul pole syndrome, as you would say.
Absolutely.
On WSMI in the morning.
So many things fit into the foul pole territory syndrome, you know. It's amazing.
We think we'll probably be back up north next year, maybe for regionals, with Edinburgh Kincaid going back together and Waverly and Franklin going together. We, you know, the school's maybe a little low with Morrisonville. Maybe our geography would take us back up north, and we'll be back up in that region.
And see, and that's one thing that you really can't. Count on. It used to be they kind of moved it around.
You right.
Kind of count on getting a regional every so often. But now with all these co-ops, that's really skewing things a bit.
Yeah, it's skewing. I know they got the, you know, set out to 2 or 3 years ahead of time. I know. I think Bunker Hill might have one next year, and Nokomis is going to have one again soon. So, you know, it might take us south or take us east. We're not sure. But wherever we'll go, we'll be ready.
As long as it doesn't take you to the river.
That's right. That was a long week, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Matt Noberg joining us is the Lincolnwood head basketball coach. And don't forget, you can help out the Lincolnwood Athletics by participating in the golf tournament coming up on August 29th at the Creek.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Thanks, Matt.
What's the saying? I spent a week in Calhoun one day.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that.
But I tell you what, they're great hosts.
Oh.
Folks at Calhoun High School, great. And by the way, they won the softball tournament.
Yes, they did. After finishing second in basketball.
They are state champions in girls softball, by the way. So congratulations to Calhoun. We need to get to another break. Sports Saturday from Irish Days rolls on right after these messages. And we're back on WSMI Sports Saturday, coming to you from the Chili Dome at Irish Days. Come on by. The Chili Dome is filling up rapidly now with Chili Cook-Off participants. Don't forget, later on today, you've got the adult pedal tractor pull, the parade this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then tonight you have the Queens, also a dance routine. Another thing that they do at Farmersville, which I think is really kind of a neat thing, they always have a Citizen of the Year award, so that's kind of a neat thing to do. So
that's good old-fashioned Americana right there.
This is what it is. This is Americana. You know, so many people across our great nation don't get to experience something like this. And
do they give away the key to the city?
That'd be something.
Well, you know, there's not many places you couldn't go in the city. You know, you don't really need a key.
Everyone leaves it wide open.
You just kind of show up and go, hey, we're here. Okay.
The doors are already unlocked.
There you go. Yeah, you know. So, you know.
I remember having a deep fried Twinkie here years ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
And, of course, the volleyball tournament will be getting underway. And like you mentioned, Tim, with summer basketball game or with the soccer game coming up next week, you know, you get down towards the end. You don't want to get in the middle of these volleyball players over here because they kill you.
Oh, that's where you wind up with the seam marks on your face.
Oh, my gosh, yes. They are extremely competitive and loud.
It's always great, though. No matter what the sport is, the game always gets competitive at the end. Whether you're just playing at home with, like, your brother or sister or playing here at Irish Days or a summer league game, whatever it is, about the last 5 minutes, like, I don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And by the way, the chili cook-off, the proceeds here go to the special education. So, you know, that's a great cause for our friends here at Farmersville. And Irish Days, such a great celebration. So
it's amazing how this chili cook-off has taken off here. This is the 29th?
29th year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard to believe it's almost three decades old.
Chili dog.
Dave Heaton and Jim Whalen, you know, are kind of the patriarchs of the chili cook-off, and Jim's making the rounds down there. He was talking about trying out for pitching for the Cardinals, you know, because they're
left-handed.
It didn't make any difference.
At this point, maybe.
At this point, you just need some pitching. So, as Lance Lynn has been put on the 15-day disabled list. So,
but lo and behold, the reemergence of Jaime Garcia, and boy, that could not come at a better time. He's thrown what? Three shutouts here in his last three starts.
Right. And has a walk to batter in 33-plus innings.
Awesome.
And I say, well, one more start, and then he's probably hurt.
And that's the thing with Jaime. No one has ever doubted the talent.
Yes.
When he's healthy, he's as filthy and as nasty as any left-hander in the game, but it's a health issue.
Yeah. I told you about this off there. You just wanted to cry last night just because he was pitching so well, and you're like, why can't he be healthy for a full season? I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the pitching.
And, you know, and just watching the game last night, just to see how Molina gets fooled on his pitches sometimes, it's just incredible the movement this guy has.
And you think about him being hurt the last couple of years, but you think about their pitching staff the last few years, they got by without him.
Yeah.
But you look at it this year, Wainwright down, Lynn down, a couple guys in the minor leagues down, Martinez on innings limit restrictions. Right. They needed this to be a year where he was healthy, and lo and behold, right when all the injuries start to happen, here's Mr. Garcia ready to roll, looking like his old self.
And remember in spring training when the plan initially was, okay, Carlos Martinez is going to be the fifth starter, and then Jaime starts pitching well. Oh, well, now we have a problem. We got six guys. What are we going to do? Well, Jaime goes down, and, you know, it really all worked out.
It's amazing that every year in spring training, we have plenty of pitching. Somebody says it. Now, not the Cardinals, but we know better. You never have enough pitching. You never have enough pitching.
It always takes care of itself. Just look a few weeks ago, Cardinals have too many outfielders. Mm-hmm. Well, Holiday blows his quad out, and, well, now you don't have too many outfielders. No matter the sport, just whenever you have too many players in the position, it works itself out.
Yeah.
It always does.
And, you know, baseball is such a long, long season, 162 games, the grind day in and day out. You know, Cardinals have played extremely well for the most part here in this early part of the season, but their time's coming where they're going to hit a slump. Every team goes through it, you know, and you just can't panic.
At some point, one of these injuries will be too much for them to overcome.
Yeah.
They can't overcome all of them all the time.
And it will probably be Lynn or Holiday. It'll be one of these two. If one of them is on the DL for a longer period of time than they're supposed to be, then that'll be the injury that puts it. Probably Lynn, to be honest. If Lynn, he's only going to miss the 15 days because they probably could have pushed him back one start, but they wanted to take precautions and put him on the 15-day DL. If he's on there for longer, that's probably the one because he's been the most reliable starter in Major League Baseball since he came up.
But with Lance Lynn, even if he takes longer than 15 days, those are innings that can be used later in the season.
That's right.
We've seen how that kind of works itself out, where somebody doesn't pitch early on, pitches later in the season, has a fresh arm, and we need to get to another break, guys. Sports Saturday rolls on from the Chili Dome at Irish Days in Farmersville. We'll come back and talk more Cardinal baseball right after this. We were talking basically about Albert Pujols and the run he's put together, and that, you know, certainly he will be a Hall of Famer, and what hat will he wear? Maybe he won't wear a specific hat, but I would certainly think he has a good chance of going in as a Cardinal.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be up to him, obviously, but I can see him doing the La Russa thing and not going with the team on the cap. But speaking of being in the Hall of Fame, he's been passing Hall of Famers left and right here this week as he moves up the home run list, just past the Mick.
Well, and he's looking like he's headed for his first All-Star game as an Angel right now, because, I mean, I didn't know about this, but at some point in the season, early this season, he came out and said to the press, you know, this isn't just the Mike Trout show. You know, some of us other guys need to step up. And since then, he's hit like 9 home runs in 15 games or something like that. I mean, he's put on an incredible run.
And the thing about Albert Pujols, just like any other athlete, you have to be healthy. Yeah. And Albert's battled his fair share of health issues in recent years. So maybe he's back to feeling a lot better, although obviously his better years are behind him, but boy, he's still darn good.
Still very feared.
Oh he's my gosh.
Probably going to get 30 home runs again this season, and I mean, it's just interesting wondering where he's going to end up on the all-time home run list. Obviously at this point he's probably not going to get anywhere near Bonds or Aaron. I think 700 is a distinct possibility if he stays healthy for the remainder of his career. That's going to be the thing, because he's on pace to finish the season with, I think, 550 home runs, and really that would be 150 left to get 700 over a period of 6 years if he stays healthy, which it's doable, but again, health is going to be the thing.
Well, declining skill level as well. You know, he's to the point now where that definitely comes into play. So,
but he's got the DH to work with.
That's the positive. He's got the DH to work with in the American League. So,
I'm just glad to see him kind of get his power back here, because he hasn't really, the Albert that we saw as Cardinal fans for 11 years in St. Louis hasn't really been on display out in LA. And it's not this year either, because he's more of a 260, 270 hitter now than that 330 guy he was for all those years. But boy, he's got the power back.
And how much of that, I wonder, was familiarity with the league, like getting used to the pitching staff in the different league, like, because he spent 11 years in the National League, then he goes to the American League. Outside of playing a handful of guys in interleague, he really doesn't know the pitching staffs for the other teams. Maybe part of that was not all of it, obviously, but part of it was, you know, getting used to the pitchers he's been seeing.
I think he's used to them now.
I think so. You know, also last night in World Cup soccer, the U.S. Women's World Cup team played a scoreless game against Sweden, and their former coach, Pia Sundhage, who...
you talk a little smack leading in.
Yeah. She was talking a little, more than a little smack, I'm afraid. But Sweden played very well, you know, and it was just a defensive struggle the whole night, which doesn't surprise me. But I still think Team USA sitting in pretty good shape right now.
And unlike the men's team, the U.S. women have a target on their back. They're kind of the team to beat each World Cup.
And there's always the group of death, whether it's the men's World Cup or the women's. And the Americans are square in that group of death this year. I think Sweden was fifth ranked in the FIFA ranking. So to get a draw out of that, with the win they got in the first match, that basically ensures that they're going to get through.
Right.
Which isn't a big surprise.
You know, and you don't like compromise ties, but you come out with a point. And Team USA leads that particular group. And they have, I think, Nigeria left, which hasn't won a game yet. So, but you can't take anybody lightly, obviously, at this point. Before you get to the knockout round.
Sweden won. They weren't the only ones talking smack. I believe after the Australians lost to the U.S., the Australians came out and said they weren't that good. We just lost to them.
That's fine. What does it say about you?
And I've heard a lot of criticism about how the women's soccer team played against the Australians. And you know, so many people have this notion about sports, about, you know, in particular basketball, how, you know, it's kind of a finesse game. It's not a finesse game. It's a get-down, grind-it-out game. Soccer's a get-down, grind-it-out game. Baseball's a grind-it-out game. That's why the Cardinals are successful. They grind out these wins, you know. And you know, you're not going to see – it's a grind-out kind of thing. And the Team USA, always in the second half, turns up, cranks up the pressure.
I have to laugh sometimes. The Women's World Cup would fall into this. LeBron would fall into this. When the hate starts coming in, you do realize the team they're playing is trying too.
Yeah.
They are also paid professionals. They are getting paid to try to stop you. So, they should have done this. Well, that's what they were trying to do, but the other paid professionals on the other side were trying to stop them.
Yes, yes. And you know, that's why we have a competition
right.
called World Cup,
yes.
so we can determine, you know, a group of contestants, a group of teams that are the best in the world.
And to me, for the American team, if a team wants to say that you just beat, well, they're not that good, well, they still got the 3 points.
Yeah.
So who cares? See you later.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy your flight back.
You know, and I found it interesting, Abby Wambach did not start
right.
last night. Alex Morgan still hasn't started a World Cup game ever.
What's up with that?
Well, she's been the super sub off the bench. She's nursing an injury right now.
They don't really need her at this point.
And they, you know, and they're going to need her. They're yeah. going to need her once they get to the knockout round.
Saving her
to the brackets.
Yeah.
Watch out. You know, you're going to have her. But boy, the Team USA's had some really terrific youngsters step up You know, I think they're sitting in pretty good shape right now.
Speaking of Team USA in soccer, how about the men's team with the week they
yes.
had over in Europe?
Yeah.
Maybe their best week ever, huh?
Well, quite possibly.
You beat the Dutch and the Germans?
They beat the Germans.
Yeah.
You know, you beat Germany in Germany?
Hello. Without a couple of your big players with Clint Dempsey and Josie sure. Altidore weren't even in the game.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, that says something. Of course, it was a friendly.
Right.
And, you know, in friendlies, you have to kind of take them like summer basketball sometimes. Yeah, you're going to compete. You're going to win. You want to win. But, you know, you may not have the full team there. But still, nonetheless, to go to Germany
yeah.
and play that well, that says something about the men's
team. Well, I think I heard something like they had 4 wins and 28 tries over in Europe prior to Jurgen Klinsmann, and since then they've had like 4 wins in 16 games or something
well,
like that.
Well, you know, it's European soccer.
Yeah.
You start
yeah.
playing European soccer yeah. against the Europeans, and you become successful.
Exactly.
And I've said it a million times, the best baseball players play in America, the best basketball players play in America, the best football players play in America, the best hockey players play in North America, the best soccer players are in Europe.
Yep.
and, you know, that's where you find the soccer players. And if you don't play that style of game, you will not be successful.
And you think about how the men's national team showed in the last World Cup. I mean, they did very well. I mean, they had no chance
yeah.
to really seriously compete for the title.
For what they had.
Yes. I mean, they showed up very well. And you look at what they're doing here in these friendlies. I mean, I think it's safe to say Jurgen Klinsmann is doing a heck of a job with this national team. And if they keep on this path, they might very well wind up being serious contenders for that
yep.
next World Cup. That's a long ways off.
That's a long ways off, and I still think they're – from time to time, they are suspect on a couple of spots at midfield.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why that's out of my pay range, put it that way. That's not for me to worry
yeah,
about.
That's Klinsmann's problem.
That's Klinsmann's problem. So, but certainly the style of play, I think, has to be the most impressive. They're playing the right kind of, the right style of play as far as playing European-style soccer. So, and you know, like the women's team last night, I don't know if you watched it or not, but in the first half, the women's team was back.
Yeah.
But in the second half, it was a half-court game, so to
yeah.
speak. And that's what the announcers even called it, and that's what I like. You know, my idea is to push it, not that I'm the smartest guy, but, you know, there is some thought that if you push everything forward, you don't have to run nearly as far, and you keep the pressure on offensively all the time. And that's what Team USA did. Sweden was pretty good defensively.
Yeah, they were.
Did the turf seem to have any effect?
I don't like the turf. I'll just come right
yeah.
out right now. I don't like the turf. I don't think I think perhaps in the long run, you know, with knees and ankles and stuff, it's probably not good. In the short term, no big deal, but it just doesn't look right. It just
yeah.
the
yeah.
ball skips off of it. You know, it's just different.
When you saw a lot of passes last night that the U.S., they were a lot stronger than
mm-hmm.
they should have been. You wonder if that had an effect.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like when a baseball skips off wet grass.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of that effect to me. I like grass.
And there was a lot of noise leading into the World Cup about basically everyone complaining about it. And the way I understood it was that essentially they said this will be the only time and it'll
right.
be back to natural grass next
yeah.
time.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
It needs to be. And I think out of, what, 7 stadiums, only one has natural turf. So, and they'll be playing the finals there.
That's good.
And on that. And you can understand in Canada, where the weather is blessed and ideal,
yeah.
playing soccer, you know, and in these stadiums, you got to have that sort of turf. To make sure it's playable.
And, you know, football obviously is a completely different game. It's so much more violent. But you wonder, or I wonder, hearing all this talk about the artificial turf for the World Cup, so many artificial surfaces in the NFL and in college football. I wonder how big of a factor that is to the blowing out of the ACLs and the various knee injuries in football. That, I wonder if that plays more of a factor maybe than just the pure violence of the game, because you hear these soccer players now talking about how it's so hard on the knees. It's so bad on the lower part of the body. Most of these football games are played on the exact same same type of surface.
Well, if you go all the way back to the, what, the late 60s, early 70s, Richie Allen, he used to play for the Phillies, got traded to the Cardinals, and Richie Allen had a profound statement. He says, if horses can't eat it, I don't want to play on it.
There we go.
And you know, I kind of like that thing. Of course, Cardinals had AstroTurf for years and years and years, and they took advantage of it. But, you know, sports, especially at the highest levels, should be played on grass, should be played on natural turf, I think. That's just my opinion. If I had a chance to put AstroTurf on my park, hey, I would, because the maintenance thing, you know, initially, probably in the long run, might pay off. But you know, it's probably not good for the players, just the pounding, because it is a hard surface. Unlike the old days where it was basically a piece of carpet on top of asphalt. That's not the case anymore, but it's still not as giving as natural turf.
It'll be interesting to see if players' associations here, when these collective bargaining agreements start to come up, if that may be something they start to push for, like, we need natural grass.
I hope so.
It looks nicer, too.
Oh, well, grass, nicely, freshly mowed, you know.
There's something about walking into, you know, Busch Stadium, just because, you know, we're from around the St. Louis area and Cardinal fans, but there's something about walking through the opening to the concourse the first time and smelling and seeing the grass.
Seeing the grass, how green it is, you know, and that's...
Because, you know, I was like, what? My yard doesn't look like that.
No, my yard doesn't look like that. My yard will never look like that.
No. Mind.
And, you know, those darn sticks keep coming down from the trees.
Why don't they have clover growing out of that grass? What's going on?
I think it's called Scott's turf.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Something like that, anyway. Well, you know, the World Cup, I think this was their litmus test. Can we have a tournament on artificial turf? Yeah, but nobody's happy about it.
Right.
But I guess, you know, the good thing is, we can just blame Canada.
Well, Canada's been pretty good host.
Well, I blame them for the turf, though.
But you blame them
absolutely.
For, okay.
Why not?
Well, you know.
Their fault. It couldn't be FIFA. They're an upstanding organization.
Well, and, of course, you know, the Canadian Football League, their fields are, what, 150 yards long or some?
Yeah, that's right. They're wider.
Yeah, and they're wider. They have a 55-yard line and, what, 25-yard end zones or something like that?
It's longer, something like that. And the goal post is in the middle of the end zone at the beginning of the end zone. It's just it's just goofy looking.
To us.
Yeah, to us.
It's a goofy looking desk. You know, it's tough. They really have a lot of foul pole syndrome stuff up there. Just thought I'd point that out. So it's pretty scary that Matt Milberg brought that up.
But tell you what,
I'm going to have to stop saying that, because I don't want that to get out, because that's probably not good. So,
it's
guys,
a true thing, though.
Yeah, well, it's very true. It's very true about life. So many things that you would think make sense don't make sense. And that's, you know, it's a foul pole. It's fair ball.
You didn't tell Major League Baseball to call it the foul pole.
I did not.
You didn't tell them to do it.
No, absolutely not.
Just point it out.
We are out of time. We want to thank our friends here at Farmersville and Irish Days for allowing us to come and broadcast again from the Chili Dome. There's Harlan Brown over there. Bye, guys. If Harlan's here, let the party begin.
There we go.
That's right. Next, coming up later today, I'll be at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds for the Stars Primal Meats Rib Cook-Off.
You'll have fun there.
We'll have fun. There's lots of cooks going on there. For Tim Mize, for Dave Jenkins, thanks to Matt Milberg, thanks to Kyle Hirschman.